And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Hey, yo, and welcome to Live from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. I've been doing a teaching on Islam and drawing the sharp contrast between the two religious systems of Islam and Christianity. And I've dealt with Islam, is it a religion of peace, and how it's not. Muhammad is the best commentary on the Quran and its passages referring to making war and stuff like that. He was a warrior. He went out and he was the apostle of a sword. That's what he said about himself. So, yeah, Islam, not really a religion of peace, and that stands in contrast to Christ, who is our peace. He can bring peace even to the Muslim countries, Muslim nations, if they will but awake and arise and allow Christ to shine on them. And I dealt also with Islam and salvation, how it is a works-oriented, a works-based system of salvation, how you don't know if you're saved or not until the very end, and even then it's up to the whim and the will of Allah. And if you don't have enough good deeds to outweigh the bad deeds on the scale of justice that Allah has, then you're toast. Sorry, you didn't make it. Versus Christianity, which it is by the grace of God that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, not of works, lest any man should boast. That not of ourselves is a gift, it is a gift of God, I should say. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now we are saved to serve. That's verse 10 of Ephesians 2. We are recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. But again, that's just the sharp contrast between the two systems. Go back, that's just a nutshell of what we talked about in depth in the previous two episodes. I want to deal with Islam and Jesus now. What does Islam say about Jesus? And again, you've already seen, just based on these two examples of salvation and is Islam a religion of peace, Christianity and Islam are mutually exclusive faith systems. They both cannot be true. Both could be false, but they cannot both be true. Are we saved by grace through faith? Or are we saved by however many good deeds we do? And if we don't do enough, of course, we do have some things in common with our Muslim friends. They're monotheistic. We're monotheistic. And Allah, a term for God, he's one. We believe the same thing. Yahweh is one God. That's back to Deuteronomy. We, just like they, believe that God has revealed himself in the pages of the book of books, the Bible. They believe that Allah has revealed himself in their book. The Quran, though, does fail the inspiration test. I will say that, but that's for another time. Both systems are very strongly opposed to idolatry. We should have no other gods before God, Yahweh God. They believe that idolatry. They believe we are idolaters because we believe in the Godhead. God is three in one. They think we're saying there's three gods. No, no, no. There are three whos of the one what. The one what is God. The three whos are Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're one in essence, one in substance, one in purpose. We both believe that God controls history. He started it. He's going to be the one that ends it. And we also believe that all things were created by God. So we got some common ground there. However, when it comes to Jesus, while they respect him, while they revere him, while they consider him one of the greatest messengers of Allah, and while they certainly confirm his virgin birth, and they describe it, it's in Surah 3, verses 45 through 47. He's called the son of Mary. And he has a number of honorific titles in the Quran. In addition to prophet, he's Messiah, he's messenger, he's word, he's spirit and mercy of God. While his miracles are mentioned, they do not, and they in fact they deny and dispute the deity of Jesus. And I've got a big problem with that. And I believe that the apostles would have a big problem with that as well. He is just another prophet, a great prophet. Peace be upon him, they'll say in their brochures, promotional brochures. But he's just a prophet. He's a forerunner of Muhammad. He even spoke about Muhammad. Now they get that from a distorted interpretation of Matthew 21 verses 42 through 45 about how the kingdom will be taken away from you, the Jewish people, and given to a people producing its fruit. They say, well, that's prophecy of the Muslims, the Islamic faith. Muhammad, he is the stone that the builders have rejected, not Jesus. Even though that prophecy is quoted again and again, the New Testament is applying to Jesus. But you know what? And so Muhammad, he's the final prophet from God. Christ was just one in a long lineage, standing in the line with Abraham and Moses and others. Just prophets, just spokesmen. And so, again, he's not God in the flesh. He's just a man, just another man, son of Mary. They have no problem saying that. Now, they won't say son of God because Allah, well, he has no son. I'll deal with those texts in a moment. But that's what they say about Jesus. He's just a messenger. He's just a prophet. Messiah, sure, but that's all. Now, you cannot believe that Jesus is a great prophet, that he's a great messenger, that he's a great man. You cannot hold to that, you cannot believe that, and believe in the Jesus of history, as is recorded in the pages of the New Testament. The New Testament is historically reliable. Because Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus who is recorded in the New Testament, he made exclusive claims to deity. John 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. That is an exclusive claim to being deity. That's taking the name of God for himself. I am, Yahweh in the ever-existing one in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3. That's what it's an allusion to when Moses says, who shall I say sent me? Said, tell them I am sent you. I am who I am. I am the I am. Tell them that's who sent you. Jesus takes that title for himself. And oh, by the way, just in case you think that the people of Jesus' day didn't hear that he was claiming to be deity, God in the flesh, even I am, Yahweh God, the people in Jesus' day, what do they do in the very next verse? They pick up stones, they're going to stone him. They're going to kill him because they got it. They understood that he was making himself equal with God. Over in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. When people called him God, he didn't say, no, you got it all wrong. John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas, who hadn't seen the resurrected Jesus and said, I'm not going to believe in the resurrection, I'm not going to believe any of this until I put my fingers, touch the nail prints in his hands. Jesus shows up, says, this is 8 days after Thomas made that declaration. He says, put your hand in my side, touch the nail marks in my hand, do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas said to Jesus, this is John 20, verse 28. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now, that is one of the most blasphemous statements one Jew could say to another Jew, if Jesus is just a human and he's not deity, he's not God in the flesh. In which case, Jesus should have told him, if indeed he is a great prophet, a great messenger, he should have told Thomas, Thomas, don't say that. That's not, he would have corrected that, but he doesn't, because it's true. And so, yes, there's the contrast for you. Our Muslim friends say he's not God, he's just a man, just a great prophet, which he can't be if he made the kind of claims he made and he lied about it, or he was delusional about it, or what have you. Or, as is pictured in the New Testament, they are true. He got it right. He is lucid in his thinking and clear in his thoughts, and his genius is on full display. And he is, in fact, God in the flesh. That's the contrast. Christianity says he is God. Islam says, nah. And again, it's based on a distorted perspective of the historical Jesus. They don't even get the history about Jesus right. For example, over in the Noble Quran, Surah 4, and this is verses 157 and 158. And for their saying, indeed we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. Listen, they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. Everybody knows, historically speaking, if nothing else, Jesus of Nazareth, the man of history, was crucified under Pontius Pilate. That's a fact of history, which the Quran gets wrong. The Quran is not historically reliable. When it speaks about history, it gets it wrong again and again, by the way. But this is just one glaring example of how the Quran gets it wrong. They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. On the contrary, they did crucify him. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. The Bible, the New Testament documents that are historically reliable, as well as contemporary sources, both pagan and Jewish, all agree that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified and died on the cross. So the Quran doesn't even get this historical fact right. How do they explain it away? Well, the very next clause says, but another was made to resemble him to them. And so that's how they get around it. They believe that another person was made to look like him. It could have been, there are some who say, and this is asserted by some Muslims, Simon of Cyrene was switched at the last minute. There are others who say that angels protected Jesus and caused Judas to look like him instead. And so what happened to the other Jesus? Well, he was hid in a wall. One of his companions took his place, like maybe Judas, maybe another one of the apostles, maybe Simon of Cyrene. Another traditional view in Islam is that the Jews attempted to kill Jesus, but that God took him up into heaven instead. And so that's what the Quran, from the very words of the Quran, that's what it says about the cross and Jesus. It says he wasn't crucified at Calvary. They didn't crucify him. Someone else was made to look like him, or something else happened entirely. verse 158 of Surah 4 says, Allah raised him unto himself. So that's the idea that he was taken up and another took his place. So they don't even, when they speak historically, they don't get the facts of history right. That's a big deal. And for me, it's a deal breaker when it comes to the Quran. And so again, they say he's just a human, he's just a man, he was a prophet to the Jews, but he was superseded by Muhammad. And in fact, Jesus foretold of the coming of Muhammad. Again, this is based on a hijacked interpretation of passages like John 14:26. The Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Muslim scholars, Muslim people will jump on that and say, ah, there's Muhammad. He's the Helper. But that is not what Jesus said. In fact, I skipped a very important phrase in that verse, whereby Jesus explains who this Helper is. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. It's not talking about Muhammad. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. So, yeah, that's a big deal. But it goes on. They deny the identity of Jesus Christ. They say he's not the Son of God. They'll say he's the Son of Mary. No problem with that. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 93 times in the Quran. He's described as... 23 times he's described as the Son of Mary. He's mentioned 93 times, 23 of those he's the Son of Mary. But never the Son of God. Why? Well, how about Surah 19:35? It is not befitting to the majesty of God that he should beget a son. No, Allah can't have a son. That's the thing. Surah 10:68, they say, God hath begotten a son. No warrant have they for this. There you go. He's not the Son of God. Surah 4:171. O people of the scripture or of the book, do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah. And his word which he directed to Mary... and a soul created at a command from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say three or trinity. Desist, it is better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is he above having a son. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. So once again, don't say trinity. Don't say there's three. Allah is but one God. And... it is not glory. It is not glorious for him to have a son. He is exalted, too exalted to have a son. So Jesus is not the Son of God. That's what the Quran teaches. There are others. Surah 5, verse 17, and blasphemy indeed are those that say that God is Christ, the Son of Mary. It's blasphemy. Well, in other words, what I'm telling you about Jesus based on the New Testament, that's blasphemy. So that's, again, the Quran, that's what the Quran teaches about Jesus. They get the facts of history wrong. Jesus claimed to even be God in the flesh. So... if he got that wrong, he can't just be a great prophet, a great messenger. He's a monster. Or he's a madman. But he cannot be a messenger from Allah and not have told the truth. Furthermore, Jesus, again, he made these very exclusive claims not to be superseded by someone else, but that he was the prime and primary one in whom salvation and truth and life is. He says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You know what makes Christianity unique? Is what it says about Jesus. Islam gets the facts of history wrong. And so we should expect them, when it comes to who Jesus is, even to get that wrong. But when it comes to Christianity, what makes Christianity unique is what it says about Jesus. And it's a unique message because there is no other system of religion which says that God came down into history and took our place for our sins. But that's exactly what the Bible says about Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 9, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what God did for me and you. Allah didn't do that. Allah wouldn't. He's so transcendent beyond everything that he would never condescend and empty himself and come down here, especially to die for our sins. Propitiation, atonement, stuff like that is foreign to Islam. Jesus says in John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You don't believe this about Jesus, you die in your sins. And that's where a lot of our Muslim friends are. They don't know the truth about Jesus. They've been told these lies straight out of their own book, which they believe to be the word of Allah. It's not. It's the word of Muhammad. It's his imaginations written down by someone other than Muhammad, by the way, because he was illiterate. Philippians 2, back there again, continuing the reading. Therefore, God exalted him, that's Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Muslim friends would never say that Jesus was crucified. That's because it's a disgrace. Even Scripture affirms the fact that cursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree. Old Testament, New Testament. And yet that's exactly what God did for us in Christ when he was crucified. To them it's blasphemy. To us it's the greatest story ever told. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 25 through 25. We preach Christ crucified. Again, Islam would never say that. A Muslim would never preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. That's exactly what it is to our Muslim friends. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Yeah, so Jesus is in fact God in the flesh who came down to die for your sins and mine. And he also came to die for the sins of everyone who believes in Muhammad. So I say to you, if you are wrapped up in the darkness of Islam, you do not have the truth about Jesus in the Quran. The truth about Jesus is only found in the pages of the New Testament. I will say to you what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 14, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Allow the light of the gospel to illuminate you to the truth of who Jesus is. More in a moment, but first, this half hour brought to you by Merced Church of Christ. Located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway, the Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our mission is to seek out and find willing people to be obedient to Christ and live according to His will. Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We wish you'd stop by and visit us sometime. The Merced Church of Christ is served by her preaching ministry, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
What is so special about Jesus? Why was Jesus so special? That is an excellent question. Why is Jesus so special? Well, I'm just going to read scripture to you and allow scripture to inform you as to why Jesus is so special. And ultimately, why he would be the only appropriate and fit sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Romans 5, beginning in verse 6, "And while we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." Yes, Christ died for the ungodly. He's the only appropriate sacrifice, the only one who could die for us. Why? Well, for one, it's because, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin." That's God, what he did in Christ. Christ knew no sin, and yet he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Yes, Jesus was sinless. And by the way, that cannot be said about Muhammad or Krishna or Buddha or Joseph Smith or any other person of history. Jesus is the only one to get through this life without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." There it is again. He is sinless, and that's why he can die for us. Why he can die for our sins, not his own. The penalty for our sins is death, and Jesus took that upon himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, says that he, that's Jesus, committed no sin. "Neither was deceit found in his mouth." That is a statement which could not be uttered for Muhammad, because he claimed to be a spokesman for God, a true prophet for God, and yet he could not even get the facts of history right. And so he was deceitful. Deceit was found in his mouth. Not in Jesus' mouth, though. Jesus committed no sin. He was and is sinless. 1 John 3, verse 5, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." There it is again. Why is Jesus so special? It's because he never committed a sin. No sin is in him. He is perfect. He is spotless. He is blameless. He is without blemish. And that's why he can be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All of the sins. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, the writer of Hebrews says. Only the blood of Jesus, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, sinless in everything, only he could take away sin, completely and totally. Atonement was made in the Old Testament, don't get me wrong, but it's because it looked forward to Jesus and his blood. That's why Jesus is so special, why he is unique, and why Muhammad pales in comparison to the glory and the beauty of Jesus. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. See all the Question of the Day segments that are there. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, life from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.